Peter Dugan here, and welcome to this week's podcast. This show is packed with music by American composers, and it's got this great high-energy vibe. One of the highlights of the show was going down to Philadelphia, my hometown, with the great Charles Yang, a fantastic violinist and singer-songwriter, and we got together in person at a studio with some incredible musicians, including the Ellis Brothers. These two guys are so extraordinary in that they don't just play classical music, but they also delve into all kinds of genres. And we put together a quartet that was actually written by Braden Ellis, one of the brothers, and we arranged it together and just had a blast in the studio. Oh, and by the way, if you like what you hear today, remember that From the Top is a small independent nonprofit, so please consider making a contribution to our efforts at fromthetop.org. We really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show.
From NPR,
it's From the Top,
celebrating the power of music
in the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. Well, in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, From the Top is open for business, my friends. We are open for you and for our young musicians. In fact, we never closed. From the Top, we never close. But seriously, though, during these tough times when our young musicians have very, very few, if any, performance opportunities, we take our position as one of the few open venues, if you will, very seriously. And today's show at the From the Top venue is especially exciting because the charismatic violinist Charles Yang returns to the program to collaborate with and meet our young players. Now, Charles is a From the Top alum like me, and he's on our team of recurring guest artists. So we'll be connecting with him during the second half of the show today. But first, I have the extraordinary pleasure of introducing you to a very special 11-year-old guitarist. His name's Preston Hong. Preston is from Los Altos, California. He recorded with us at Disher Recording Studios in San Francisco while we at From the Top listened in over Zoom, cheering him on and guiding him through it. And then I interviewed him. So he started out this session by performing a piece called Sunburst by Andrew York. Thank you. Preston Hong from Los Altos, California, performed Sunburst by Andrew York, and Preston is just 11 years old. Preston, that was such a tremendous performance. You brought a smile to my face, even though I'm 3,000 miles away from you over here in New York. Thank you for that wonderful performance.
Well, thank you. That was really nice of you.
You know, you are a very young man to be playing such complicated, intricate music at such a high level. I'm wondering, when you play a piece like Sunburst, are there things that they're just too difficult because of the size of your hands?
Well, my hands are actually pretty good, pretty big for my age.
Those are pretty big.
Oh my God, my thumb is so big. But some parts are harder because my fingers might not be as strong. For example, when I was doing one of the hammer-ons at the end, they just like didn't really sound, and it was like harder to hear it.
You know, I was wondering, could you talk a little bit about what a hammer-on is?
A hammer-on is when you take like one of your fingers and then like push it down onto the string, and it'll make a sound without you having to pluck a string with your other hand.
Right, so just using your left hand. Would you mind demonstrating that for us?
Okay. During one of the parts, I went like... when I go like that part, and that's
right.
A hammer-on. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're hearing two pairs of notes, but you're only actually plucking the strings once with your right hand. Well, you know, like so many of the young musicians who come on From the Top, I know you spend a lot of time practicing. But are you able to do other activities outside of music at all?
Well, I actually have a lot of time to do a lot of different kind of activities. Like, I like playing video games, playing basketball, doing Boy Scouts. There's a lot of things I could do in my spare time.
You know, I've heard that you have a really serious workout routine.
Yeah, I usually just do like a workout that I just written down on paper that I got from a video, and then sit-ups and stuff. And then once I tried getting my dad to do it, and then I think I trained him really well because he got one big pack. And he always says one big pack is stronger than six little packs.
Your dad in particular has been really important to you musically. In what way?
Well, there's a lot of ways why he's like really important to me in music. Like every day he sits next to me while I practice, just encourage me to practice better and give me some tips. And like I can't imagine practicing without him next to me. It's just a lot harder.
Oh, that's so wonderful to have his support. Preston, thank you so much for joining us remotely all the way over there in California. We really appreciate it.
For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Peter.
Thanks, Joanne. We are going to keep the good times rolling now with another very positive, very athletic American piece. This one performed by a 15-year-old cellist from Seattle, Washington, Carson Ling Eford. The piece is the Capriccio for Cello and Piano by Lucas Foss, and Li Tan Shu is at the piano.
Thank you.
Carson Ling Eford, 15 years old, performed Capriccio for cello and piano by Lucas Foss. She recorded with pianist Li Tan Shu at London Bridge Studios in her hometown of Seattle, Washington. And I'm dialing in now to this session, long distance. And Carson, what a beautiful and bold performance of that piece. You gave it all the energy, all the spirit that it calls for. I just loved watching you dig into the instrument.
Thank you so much.
You know, Lucas Foss, we think of him as an American composer. He actually immigrated with his family as a teenager. And when we hear this music, though, it does sound American. We hear similarities to his good friend Leonard Bernstein. We feel like we're being transported to the Old West. Have you played a lot of American music, a lot of 20th century American music?
I actually haven't. So this Lucas Foss piece is actually pretty new to me. And I found that there have been quite a few difficulties when I'm going through the piece and when I first learned it. It's definitely really helpful for me to first look at the piano score and kind of study it, because I find that, you know, seeing how the two parts fit together is helpful before I actually start playing it.
Well, you have a huge advantage that you're a pianist too. That's such a great gift to have and a wonderful resource when it comes to learning music in those early stages. But that's not all that you do, right? You have another musical superpower.
Yeah, composing.
That's right. Well, you recently wrote a string quartet and you sent From the Top a recording of it.
Yeah.
While we listen to it now, would you tell everyone about what sorts of motivation you had in writing it and how it came about, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so this is my string quartet in E minor, and I actually composed it for the Seattle Symphony's Young Composers Workshop. And basically the finished product is you have your composition, and then it's played by Seattle Symphony musicians at an ending performance. So this recording was actually played by four Seattle Symphony musicians.
So cool that you get to have that done for you. I have these incredible pros playing your music. And that recording we just heard featured Brittany Breeden and Arthur Gursky on violin, Sayaka Kakubo on viola, and F.A. Batashigil on cello. Well, that string quartet was a revelation for me. I mean, it was amazing to hear, not to mention, obviously, your cello performance was just knocked my socks off. But yeah, thank you so much for being with us today, Carson.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun for me.
Carson Ling Eford, age 15, from Seattle, Washington. So far on today's program, we've been enjoying music by American composers. And while the next piece was written by Russian composer Nikolai Kapustin, it owes its inspiration to American jazz. We've got a talented 17-year-old pianist from San Diego, California, to play it, and her name is Ursula Hardianto. Ursula performs Kapustin's Concert Etude No. 6, The Pastoral. Thank you. That was pianist Ursula Hardianto, who's 17 years old and from San Diego, California. She performed Concert Etude No. 6, the Pastorale by Nikolai Kapustin. Ursula, I so enjoyed listening to that. It's so richly layered, that performance. You know, you have all the groove that you need, but also you never lose that lyricism and that melodicism throughout. And it's charming, it's playful. Just brava.
Thank you so much.
Well, you and I have something in common, aside from the obvious, which is that we're both pianists. We both have pretty big extended families that like to make music when we all get together. So in my case, it's St. Patrick's Day, the Dugan family band. We all play Irish traditional music together. What are the sort of musical traditions that that you have with your family?
So I actually have a very large extended family. Like you said, I have 13 grandchildren in my grandchildren generation, and we range from the ages of 2 years old to 22 years old, and I serve as kind of that middle 17-year-old bridge.
Right.
And
right.
During Christmas Eve, all of us, we gather with my grandparents and my uncles and aunts, and after a hearty Christmas meal, we gather around my grandparents, and he whips out his guitar, and we sing One Day at a Time together. And it's just so heartwarming and sentimental, even though we are also goofing off as all of the grandchildren are just poking fun at each other for their singing.
It's the best. So speaking of your family, I read that you put together a benefit concert inspired by a family member who fell ill. Talk about the initial situation.
So my loved one, a family member, they were diagnosed with mental illness a few years ago, and I was extremely overwhelmed with the situation. There was a lot of very turbulent events going on. So because of all this, I turned to music every single night as my remedy and as my healing tool. And after going through this process for a number of years and having music as such an amazing tool, I decided to extrapolate on this. And I asked myself the question, well, why can't music serve as the same purpose, but for other people? And because of this, I decided to gather 8 other young performing artists and use music and other performing arts to educate the Southern Californian public about mental health awareness. And it was honestly just so empowering as well as humbling. And it's so, so rewarding to be able to bridge music, something that I love and am so passionate about, with another very important part of my life, which is mental health.
Mm. I think that mental illness can make the loved ones of the ill person feel helpless sometimes. But I think it's inspiring that you actually took the situation that you found yourself in and then found whatever way you could to try to make a difference.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Oh, thank you so much, Ursula. It's been awesome getting to know you. And again, beautiful performance. Ursula Hardianto, 17 years old, from San Diego, California.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. From the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. And from the Arcus Foundation, dedicated to the idea that people can live in harmony with one another and the natural world.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, a young violist from the Philadelphia area performs the music of Ernest Bloch. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt. Peter.
Thanks, Joanne. The second half of our program today is special for two reasons. The first is how it was recorded. In person. Yes, a rare pleasure these days, but following very strict COVID-19 protocols, we made this part of the show in person with a small group of incredibly enthusiastic young artists. So that's one special thing. But also, one of From the Top's recurring co-hosts joined us, violinist Charles Yang. Now, just to remind you, Charles is a From the Top alum like me, and he's carved out an unusual and exciting career. On the one hand, he's regularly making appearances at the top classical music festivals and soloing and playing concertos with the likes of the Chicago Symphony. And then on the other hand, he's a soulful pop vocalist. He's a singer-songwriter, and he's a member of the fantastic genre-bending trio Time for Three. His musical appetites, like mine, range from Baroque to R&B. And he and I have actually toured together as a duo for the past 10 years. Plus, he's one of my best friends. So it was an especially great reunion when we got together at Turtle Studios in Philadelphia, and I had the fun of introducing him to the wonderful 16-year-old violinist, Kaylee Kim. Charles, Kaylee, it's such a thrill to be together, making music live and in person.
Oh, yeah. Kaylee, it's great to meet you.
Yeah, I guess chamber music, the past several months, just, you know, the most we could have done is virtual, like sending recordings back and forth with each other, but just playing, right. actually getting to play music with each other in person has been something I've missed for a while. So yeah, this was a really great experience.
Yeah, when we all got together yesterday for rehearsal, that first note of the prelude, when we heard, Charles and I looked at each other when we heard your sound, because it just melted us.
Yeah, masks and all, we had our masks on, but we could see each other's eyes. And once you started playing, Peter and I just kind of both looked at each other like, whoa, that's a beautiful tone.
Kaylee, will you officially introduce this piece?
Yeah, so we will be recording three movements from Shostakovich's five pieces for two violins and piano. So they're the prelude, the waltz, and the polka.
Thank you. That was the Prelude, Waltz, and Polka from Five Pieces for Two Violins and Piano by Dmitri Shostakovich, performed by 16-year-old violinist Kaylee Kim from Oak Hill, Virginia, along with my co-host today, the inimitable violinist Charles Yang, and I had the great pleasure of joining them at the piano.
Yeah, Kaylee, that was unbelievable. As I said earlier, your sound is just, it's just so pure, and we were just so shocked. First of all, you're 16, and it just sounds so, it's like you've been playing with us for years. And, you know, it just brings me back to when I was a kid growing up playing violin. And what's your story? How did you come to find love with the violin?
I guess I saw the violin for the first time when I was maybe 5 or 6, because my piano teacher at the time was also a violin teacher. And I guess, as any typical 6-year-old, I don't have much of a long attention span. So once I realized I would have to actually practice and put effort into it, I think I lost a little bit of interest there to the point where I basically just quit violin for a few years.
Wow. And you refound that love later on.
Yeah. So I was 10. Yeah, I was 10. And I think I was coming back from a birthday party of like a family friend. And my mom asked me if I just wanted to take a few violin lessons again. And at the time, I don't know if I really wanted to. I mean, my mom made it clear. She was like, it's okay if you don't want to. I'm just asking. If you don't want to, that's fine. But if you want to, we can sign you up for some lessons. And I think I was getting the vibe that she wanted me to. I don't really know if I actually wanted to, but just because I thought my mom wanted me to start playing violin again, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll try practicing again, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. And then, yeah, after playing for a few weeks and having a few lessons, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice, actually. I really like this.
Yeah, and I think your mom probably knew that. I mean, parents, they know something. And
yeah,
just like my mom, I was kind of the same way, where I didn't want to practice. My friends were playing soccer, and I really wanted to play soccer, and violin just didn't. Since my mom played, I didn't really feel like I wanted to, but I think they saw something that if we gave it time, we would actually love it for ourselves. And I thank your mom for that, because you sound so good.
Thank you.
And, you know, what is it about it today that makes you want to play violin at a meaningful level?
I guess that is a bit of a deep question. I guess this is kind of an answer everyone gives, but I guess it feels pretty relevant for me. I guess just with music, I really feel like I'm able to, I guess, be vulnerable and just kind of communicate whatever I'm really feeling. Or maybe it's not even what I'm feeling, or just whatever emotion I'm trying to portray within the music. I think it's a really powerful outlet for me.
Wow. Yeah. I think we all feel that way, right?
Yeah. And it was cool for us to get to know you in that musical context by all playing together. It was so much fun. And thank you again for being with us, Kaylee.
Thank you so much.
Great to play music with you, Kaylee.
Kaylee Kim, age 16, from Oak Hill, Virginia.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/FromTheTop.
Pianist Peter Dugan here, alongside my co-host today, violinist Charles Yang. And if you're just joining us today, we're recording this segment of today's show at Turtle Studios in Philadelphia. Charles, I'm going to go over and get situated at the piano. Would you introduce this excellent gentleman who's standing beside you?
Yeah, this is the awesome, awesome 17-year-old Pierce Ellis.
Hello.
Pierce, where are you from?
I am from just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And introduce what you and Peter are going to play right now.
So we are going to play the last movement of the Bloch 1919 Suite for Viola and Piano.
Thank you.
Thank you.
17-year-old Pierce Ellis from Broomall, Pennsylvania, performed the fourth movement of Ernest Bloch's Suite for Viola and Piano. I'm Peter Dugan here with my co-host for today, Charles Yang, and I had the privilege of joining Pierce at the piano on that performance.
Yeah, that was amazing. You guys had so many colors within that. I mean, that's such a colorful piece, mm-hmm. but you guys really brought those out. Now, for the radio listeners out there that are listening in right now, you can't see this, but Pierce, you're pretty tall, man. Yeah. What are you?
I am almost 6'9". So.
Oh, you're almost 6'9"?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm 5'7". So that's that's more than a... Okay, let's be honest here. Are there any advantages or disadvantages with playing an instrument being this tall?
Yeah, one of the cool things is that not many people can play on like a super large viola and then not like break their hand afterwards. So yeah, it's one of the advantages of having long fingers and being this tall is that I'm able to play on a larger viola. I think the one I play on is 17? a 17.5 inch.
Wow.
So yeah, so I'm able to play on it, and it's the larger violas, they get so much richer and darker colors, which I really love.
On the other hand, is it ever a drawback to, for example, with music stands, not designed for people who are 6'9"?
I have never found a music stand that is my height, sadly.
Well, regardless of any of those challenges, it's clear that you are a budding master of that instrument. So I was thinking about the fact that you were going to be here and my co-host Charles as a violinist would be here. So I thought as string players, you two should talk about your love of music. And specifically starting with the idea that when you were first learning classical music and being exposed to, you know, Haydn and Mozart, stuff like that, you weren't that into it, right?
Yeah. As a 5-6-year-old with a short attention span, it seems like the stuff that you can already tell what's going to happen. You already know where things are going to, you already know where the phrases are going to end.
What other kinds of music that made you kind of change your mind about playing a stringed instrument?
My biggest influence right now is definitely Ravel. Woo! He's like...
Ravel kind of did it for me, too.
Yes.
Was there, like, a particular Ravel piece that blew you away?
Oh, definitely Daphnis and Chloe.
Okay.
Hands down.
It just so happens that I have a recording of that piece right here, Pierce.
So, yeah, actually, it's an amazing memory about this piece. I remember it was, like, past midnight, and I was super sleepy, and I was, like, in the shotgun of the car. I had my earbuds in. And I was like drifting away half asleep. And then Daphnis and Chloe came on, and I had never been exposed to it before. And then I just remember like especially in Le Vers du Jour, the first part of the Suite 2, it was just, man, I was floored. And it's like my stomach dropped, and like, you know, when stuff wells up in your throat a little bit, and it's just like, I just didn't know what was going on. And then like these giant crescendos and these harp lines and everything that was going on, it was just amazing. Even more, there was so much going on, and it was like a good type of sensory overload. It was just, man, it was...
I'm getting chills with you just saying that. And same thing, as a kid, I kind of leaned towards that and wanted to play all these different kinds of extended colors. Now, as I get older, it's funny. It's just like going back to Haydn or Mozart. It's like that Bach. It's like my everyday play now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm playing that every day and even listening to it.
Well, Pierce, I'm so excited that we get to play a little more music together now. And to help us with that, we have another rather tall individual joining the room. Who's that standing next to you?
This is my elder brother, Braden.
Braden, it's such a treat to have you with us. Charles, Braden was actually just on our program last spring performing Massenet's Meditation from Thais. We played it together and a double bass arrangement of it.
Yeah, I've known about Braden because my bandmate, Renan Meyer, told me about Braden. But we're going to play a piece you wrote today, right?
Yeah, so the name of this song is called Tuna.
I can't wait to play this tune. I love this piece. And before we get into it, I just want to thank you, Charles. It's been such a treat to have you working with the musicians, and can't wait to get together now and play this final tune.
Yeah, always a treat being here, working with you guys.
Shall we do this, gentlemen?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's take it from the top. Thank you.
tuna.
That was Tuna by Braden Ellis. The 18-year-old composer was at the double bass. His 17-year-old little brother, Pierce, played viola. And my co-host, the multi-genre violinist, Charles Yang, played violin. I was on the piano. The Ellis brothers are from Broomall, Pennsylvania, and Pierce is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. And that's a wrap for this week's show. I want to thank all the young musicians on today's program, not only for sharing their music, but also for sharing their humanity. They give us hope during this time when we really need it. And to you, whether you're in your living room or in the car, or maybe making a cup of joe in the kitchen, I want to thank you for listening. This is Peter Dugan. Please join us next week for From the Top.
Top is written and produced by Tim Banker, with post-production mastering and editing by senior producer Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykeman. Our sound team includes editor and technical guru John Escobar, along with our longtime technical director Barrett Willett. Additional editing this week by Dave Norville. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks to all the engineers who ran our remote sessions today. Tom Disher at Disher Music and Sound in San Francisco, Julian Anderson at London Bridge Studio in Shoreline, Washington, and Patricio Knotholt at the Village Studios in Los Angeles. Our in-person work at Turtle Studios in Philadelphia was engineered by Doug Ross. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station. and from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.